Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 66 of the O Woman Podcast, and I want to apologize for having been absent for a week. If you were checking out the website, you'll see that the first 3 days that I was sick, I posted and mentioned it, and then I honestly lost track of time and was feeling pretty bad. Now, apparently what I had was strep throat, and I'd never had that in my life, so I was really surprised by getting it, because it's more common in kids or teenagers. I mean, it makes sense. I work around children, so I could see that I could have gotten it. I've been really busy lately, which kind of stresses you out, which, as I've talked about in a previous episode, can lower your body's ability to fight off infection. Your skin, actually, in the last episode, 65, is a natural great protection against pathogens and getting sick. And when you're feeling stressed, it actually lowers your skin's ability to fend off invaders. So I think that was probably part of it. And it's just the season, you know, it's winter. It's the time when you can get sick. And I've gotten, you know, I felt a little down at different times throughout the year as far as health-wise, but not really more than like a day or so. But this is the longest sickness I've had in a while, which I guess really lasted probably about a week. And I wasn't bedridden or anything really. I was able to move around, but it hurt to swallow. If you've ever had strep throat, you know how it really hurts to swallow. But the thing that I noticed the most that was the grossest thing was this taste I had in my mouth. It was like horrible, phlegmy, gross snot or something, which, according to the doctor that I went to see, said that perhaps that taste had more to do with, you know, grossness than just the snot aspect. It might have been like actually my my tonsils, like emitting a pus trying to fight off infection. So now that I've thoroughly grossed you out for the day, I wanted to just also talk about, just very briefly, I know this doesn't really have anything to do with the episode today, but just the way I chose to handle strep, just because through this podcast, I want to talk about everything, and I want to just take this to be a moment where I can slip in a little bit ideas of, you know, health ideas that I have, but I ended up taking the antibiotic. I was originally not going to do that. It took me a while to think about it. I finally went to the doctor and learned I had strep, and then I was like, oh God, what do I do? I was looking into it, and I'm really hesitant to take any kind of medicine unless I really know what's going on. Is it a vitamin? Is it a micronutrient? Or is it, you know, something that could actually harm me long term? So I did some research, and it was a really hard decision for me to make. If I didn't work around children, or if I was able to have taken off of work a few more days, I think I would not have taken the antibiotic, because I do feel that I was getting better, which if you look into research on strep throat, it goes away with or without meds in 3 to 7 days. And the fear that people have about it is that it can cause, rheumatic fever and all that kind of stuff, which if you look into that more, it's a lot more common in children than in adults, and it's really even not that common in adults. So I decided that, hey, you know, I don't know if I want to take it, because what an antibiotic does, which, I mean, it's a great thing, it's good to have around for sure, it kills all the bacteria in your system. It even kills the good ones. So your good gut bacteria, which is such an ecosystem of support, it kills a lot of your vaginal bacteria, which can be an issue for fighting off infection, you know, things like that. So I was concerned about that, but ultimately I realized I might as well go ahead and do it, because I work around kids and I want to make sure I'm not contagious before I go back to work. And I just, you know, went ahead and did it. I don't regret it, but it would have been nice to have been in a situation where I had been able to kind of get through it, because I was coming out on the other end, I know for sure, just because usually if you allow your body to fight off strep, according to some of the research I was doing, just like most diseases, depending on what it is, then your body's going to be more immune to it in the future, and then there's even some theory that you could pass that higher immunity onto your child, which you can't do through an antibiotic, obviously. So anyway, that's just a little bit of information for you there. You can totally agree, you can totally disagree. As always, I encourage you to look into it, find out your own research, figure out what's going to be best for you. But I just wanted to share that with you so you had a little clue why I was absent for a week. I apologize again. It was really weird not doing the show. I missed everybody. I miss talking to you. So without further ado, let me move on to the topic of today's show. So as I said before, it's episode 66 today on this Monday here where I live. It looks like we're going to be getting some good snow today and this afternoon and tonight, and probably we'll all be out of work for a few days, which will be really great. So I want to talk about this article that I read last night. I was just going through Facebook, just looking at different things, and this popped up for me. And it was just a suggested post, I think. It was really interesting. Mostly because it was kind of comical. I was like, come on, some of the stuff we already know. But then I thought, maybe we don't actually already know some of this stuff. So I wanted to talk about it. The title of the article is, Men Say the 9 Things That Make a Woman Good in Bed, quote unquote, good in bed. So they apparently polled, I think it was 4,000 men. I hope I'm not wrong in that. I hope it's not 400. Anyway, it's either 400 or 4,000 men, and asked them what they thought made a woman good in bed, like what specific traits or qualities or things that she does or says or whatever. So I was reading that, and I was just shocked by how much of that seemed obvious, or how much of it, not even obvious, but how much of it seemed like, how are you even having sex if you're not exhibiting these qualities? But that's the reality. Some of these things, I imagine all women have or are, because I have a lot of friends that are, you know, open or confident or whatever. But some of the things I imagine, I think everybody's like that, right? But it's not always the case. So if you're not someone that's naturally like that, it's worth reading and talking about it so that we can see, like, hey, not so much what necessarily are we trying to do to please men, but what are we doing to make ourselves more confident and focus on our sexuality? Because I feel like a lot of these points that the men make a lot of sense as it relates to your own sexual self separate from men. It makes a lot of sense about how to treat yourself sexually, how to be open sexually. So, this article is on, it was at worldlifestyle.com, and I'm going to put the link to it in the body of the post where this audio is embedded. So if you want to read the article, feel free. It's not going to be a lot meatier than what I'm telling you today. It was because it was kind of brief. It was, you know, a list of 9 with brief descriptions. It wasn't anything intense. The first thing, which I started reading it and I was like, really? So the first thing that men think make a woman good in bed is genuine enthusiasm. And I was thinking, well, of course. I mean, aren't all women who are actually going to have sex with someone enthusiastic? I mean, every now and again, you just do it with your partner, just do it. But especially if it's a new partner, I hope you're genuinely enthusiastic. And to me, this touches on something that I think is interesting that the men noticed, was they notice your enthusiasm. So you should be noticing your enthusiasm, not because they notice, but because it allows you to read, like, how interested are you in the situation? Think about it. The guy was saying, like, it feels really nice to know that a woman's is into it as much as you are, you know? And I can see when you start a new sexual relationship, sometimes it's hard. You don't really, you're out of your element a little bit. You don't really know how to act, what to say, what to do. You really like this person. You don't want to say anything goofy, you know, do anything goofy. Act way too into him, you know, have him act way too into you. You don't want any of that to happen. But it's important to actually read how you're feeling. And if you're feeling a certain way, show it. So if you are really into him, think of a way that you can show it that still expresses you, but it is going to be good for your relationship at that time. It wouldn't be a good idea at this point to tell him that you love him, you know, right at the very beginning, just because you're into having sex with him. But it would be a really good idea to smile and participate and act like you're having a fun time, if you are. If you're not, no need to act like you're having a fun time. Make sure that it is genuine, as these guys said. Make sure it's actually genuine enthusiasm. The second thing they said was eye contact, which I thought was really interesting, because this to me was less of a duh kind of moment, because not everybody feels that comfortable making eye contact. And I mentioned this in one of the previous episodes, talking about kind of your raunchy turned on feelings and your cozy turned on feelings. Eye contact can be really hard to do when you're focused on yourself and having an orgasm, which in many cases you should be. And it can also be really hard to do depending on the stage in your relationship. So you're with this person, you like them, you enjoy them, but you're not so open yet with your emotions that you want to stare deeply into each other's eyes and see the window to each other's soul. You might not be there yet. And that's okay. Some people can make eye contact with someone no matter who they are, when they're mad at them, if they're a stranger. Eye contact doesn't freak them out. Sometimes it's a cultural thing. Sometimes it's a gender thing. Sometimes it's a personal feeling. Sometimes it's the way you grew up in your family, how much eye contact you make. But be aware of how much eye contact you make and think about it. And think about, could I be making more eye contact? Do I feel like that would be good for me? Do I feel like that would be good for my relationship? Is it possible? For example, I talked to a friend recently who was saying that making eye contact during certain points in sex ruins the moment. I know that. I have been there on certain occasions. Because you have to focus. It ruins the moment, and you can't focus on your feelings, your bodily, physical feelings in your crotch, if you're looking at someone's eyes. Sometimes you can. It really depends on how you're wired or how you, you know, get turned on and have orgasms in the moment. Now, you can always work towards a certain thing, but that's a different story. We'll talk about that another time. But eye contact is apparently something that makes a woman good in bed because they're showing, I guess, their appreciation, their connectedness. And it also kind of shows you're attentive when you think about it. If you're speaking, you're doing public speaking in front of people, which isn't really like having sex, but still. You want people to look at you to know they're paying attention to you. So it's nice, I could see it from anyone's standpoint, to have someone look at you. Because you realize, oh, they like me. They're not just turned on by having sex. They're turned on by me. So think about that. Whether or not you're able to do the eye contact thing very much or at certain occasions, that's up to you. And if you want to change it, we can work on it. But just think about what that might mean, what eye contact might mean with you and your partner. The third thing that guys said was, this one to me was like a big duh kind of moment, but apparently being good in bed involves being actively involved. So actively taking part in the sexual experience. And I read this and I was like, how can you not actively take part? And I was reading it more and I was thinking, I really honestly still don't understand this number, because they talked about, in like a little bit more detail, the concept of the difference between a participant versus a spectator. How can you have sex without being a participant? Unless you are literally lying there completely unmoving. Which, I mean, come on. Everybody's done that every now and again. Usually when I do that, it has to do with the sexual game, kind of. Where it's going to be a day where I don't do anything. You do everything to me. Or we'll do a reversal kind of situation. But I think actively taking part doesn't always have to be touching the other person's body all the time. It can be obvious in the way that you're engaged in the experience. So if you're vocally, eye contact wise, emotionally, if you're moving around, you know, if the person can tell you're turned on, that to me is considered active. But I don't know, because they didn't fully elaborate, what the active participating kind of thing is going to be for the guys. To me, I imagine it's going to be doing a lot of sexual moves just like the guy is doing, which can sometimes be hard at first. When you're first in a relationship, you don't know what he likes. You don't know. Also, this is something that women have to think about that men like really don't have to think about. Is do you want to totally control the sexual situation? Because unfortunately, you're worried in the back of your mind. You're like, wait a minute. Does this guy like me totally controlling the sexual situation? And chances are he's going to be pretty open to kind of whatever comes his way because he's into you. But you're also worried about when you're doing it, like, is he think I'm going to be a controlling sexual partner if I just take charge and do all this stuff? Or does he want to be the guy that's like, does he want to be the one that's in charge of all the pleasure making? And is this like a gift to me? I don't know. People have different mindsets when they get turned on and when they're in a sexual situation. So you don't know really what they're thinking. But when I first read it, I was thinking, active participating? I mean, come on, we're all actively participating. So on a different level, if you are not actively participating, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, that's me, I don't actively participate, then you need to be actively participating. But you need to be actively participating because you want to. So you have to look at the reason why you're not actively participating. Is it just like an old habit? You've been with the same guy for 10 years, you love him, but man, you're just kind of tired. Think about ways to rejuvenate that relationship in that situation. Because despite the fact that he's going to like it more, it's going to be a motivating thing for yourself. It's going to make you feel sexier, make you feel better. How sexy do you feel just kind of lying there? Not sexy. You feel like a fish, like a limp, floppy fish. Come on. You're more sexy when you're moving, when there's kinetic energy going on, when there's physical, emotional, spiritual rubbing and touching, all sorts of things like that. So you have to think about why you're not moving, why you're not participating. Is it that reason? Is it because you just kind of been with the same guy forever, you love him, but whatever? Or is it because you're just not into it? If you're just not into it, then you have to say something. But it would be worth, you know, thinking about what you want to say and not saying it in the moment, because that's really going to hurt their feelings. But are you even into it? Are you into this sexual experience with this person? Are you into this person? So it's worth thinking about all of those things. If you notice you're not actively participating, now everybody gets a break. So if you feel like you need a break from actively participating every now and again, do it. I'm not saying don't do that, but be aware of your sexual persona, like how that expresses who you are sexually. The fourth thing they said was open-mindedness, trying new stuff, which makes sense to me. I think everybody, regardless of who you are and how kinky you naturally are or not, you can still get stuck in this kind of feeling of kind of in this rut, and you just usually don't notice you're stuck in a rut, but you can kind of get stuck in a rut of just kind of doing the same old stuff. And I've talked about that before, but there's a lot of different ways to kind of get out of that. Saying yes can be one way, you know, to get out of that. Something that you're not totally comfortable with, but you know it's not going to, like, hurt you or upset you or anything like that. You could say, yeah, okay, let's try it, but can we do it my way? Can I set the pace? You know, something like that. Can we be really communicative while we're doing this so that I can say, whoa, whoa, stop, if I don't like it? You know, just the idea of at least entertaining the idea of doing something new, even if it's something as simple as a new position, or something as interesting and complicated as wearing a strap-on dildo, or, you know, whatever. So just think about the different things, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, but also what things can you say yes to that you think sound difficult and hard, but would actually maybe spice up your love life, spice up your sex life, but would still not make you feel unsafe. The fifth thing that guys said was, when she's in it for herself. And this sort of surprised me because, honestly, I would be surprised that women wouldn't mostly be in it for themselves. Maybe that makes me sound like a lunatic, but I am mostly in sex for myself. I mean, come on. I mean, aren't men mostly in sex for themselves? I'm also in it because I love bonding with my husband and my partner, and I love him and I want to be with him and share something with him. But when I imagine it's time to have sex, I'm imagining I'm trying to get it on. Like, I am ready for some pleasing of Emma. I'm not just thinking about, like, what would I do that could be sexy for Jason that would maybe be a fun thing to think of later. I'm thinking, let's reach for the top here. Come on, let's go for the gold. Every time, that's what I'm thinking. So this actually surprised me because it reminded me that sometimes people, just whoever you are, it could be a day in your life, it can be you as a person, might not feel comfortable saying, this is for me, this is my time. And every time can't be all about you. We know that. Everybody should know that. But it can be a lot about you a lot of the time, especially if you're in a relationship where you feel comfortable taking care of each other, trading off, spending extra time and energy towards each other's orgasms and sexual experiences. So I was surprised that this was on the guy's list, because that seemed kind of like, from a guy's perspective, which I'm not a guy, it seems like that would be kind of a given. Like, you would just assume that a woman would be in it for themselves. Not totally for themselves, but not just in it to please me as a guy. And that would maybe feel a bit sad and lonely and weird if it was always about me and not about the other person. But maybe that's just me being a girl thinking like a guy. I have no clue. I don't really know. But one of the things that they said about this was, like, one of the examples, one of the guys said, like, I like it when a girl will get on top, you know, rock forwards, rock backwards, make circular motions with her hips. you're actually doing it for you, you know, I can tell. And as this, I was reading that, I was thinking, I do that every single time. But I do it at the right time in the sexual experience where the whole thing isn't about me. It's about Jason for a certain point. It's about me for a certain point. It's about us at certain points. And I think that makes for a really nicely well-rounded relationship, a sexual one. And not every sexual experience has to be about both you and them and you and them together, but it needs to have a balance to it. Some level of balance, either within each situation or across multiple situations. If you think about them, you're like, well, this time we focused on you, next time we'll focus on me. You've got to think of some way to make it feel even, like you're getting enough play, because this is about you just as much as it's about him. And in my opinion, more, because there's such a history of just so many different sexual layers that come in a woman's life, so many different issues in our sexual history where we felt unable to express ourselves or we're not allowed to be sexual or different things like that, that was never really much of an issue for men. And so there's a lot less deep-seated sexual things we have to get to in an average man's life. In an individual man's life, who knows? All men are different. Just like I feel like in an average woman's life, there's a lot more you have to delve down deep to get to open up, to understand how it works. Certain women, maybe they're easily there. Maybe it's even harder for them. You know, it just depends. But this one I think was the most impressive one to me that really inspired me to want to talk about this today on the show, was just how men thought when you're doing it for yourself, you're good and bad. And so this, if nothing else, you know, if you've heard nothing else about this thing just now, I want you to think about that as just a testament to, if you need permission, which I hope you can just give yourself permission, but if you need permission from someone, anyone, a theoretical partner that you might want to be with in the future, use this guy's quote as an example that you're good in bed. It's sexy. It's awesome when you are in it for yourself. When you know where you're trying to take yourself and you try to get there. That is sexy. It is not selfish. It is not ridiculous. It is not, oh, I should wait, or oh, we'll do it later, or oh, why can't he do it? It is great that you are taking charge. The sixth thing that they said, which I appreciated a lot, was being able to share some laughs. You're good in bed if you can laugh some. If you can enjoy some things. One of the guys who filled out the questionnaire said that some of the best sex he ever had was while laughing. Because that's another bonding experience on its own, which makes a lot of sense. And one of the episodes I've done about queefs, farts, burps, sneezes during sex, that has a lot to do with laughter. Sexual laughter. It can be a deep belly laugh, and you can actually feel hilarious things moving inside of your body and with him. If you're having sex with a male partner, you can feel a lot of hilarious things moving when you laugh because you're moving different muscles. So keep that in mind. Something funny happens, laugh it off. Laugh it off, because it's going to happen again someday, and it's going to happen to that other person again someday too. The seventh thing that the guy said was being vocal made you good and bad. And they made a point to say that, not fake vocal. Not, you know, like faking an orgasm, high-pitched squealing. Now, if you naturally sound like that, then do it. If you don't do it. Do your natural sound. And if you're not comfortable making vocalizations, but you feel as though you want to, I advise you to take some time on your own, pleasing yourself, practicing making noises. Or, without pleasing yourself, lay around in bed, practice making noises, and see how turned on you get. I bet you're going to get pretty turned on. So that when the time comes, if you want to feel more comfortable letting out your vocalizations, whatever they are, you're going to yell, you're going to just, you know, whisper, you're going to grunt, whatever, you'll feel more comfortable doing it. The eighth thing that the guy said was a confidence, which to me was another duh kind of moment. But to me, this really goes back to the kind of the concept of actively taking part, because you can't actively take part in your sexual relationship if you're not going to be sexually confident in it. If you're not confident in your ability, in your body's ability, in your ability to know what you want and to feel comfortable, perhaps at least guessing about what they want or knowing what they want, then you're not going to seem all that confident because you're not feeling confident. And this is something where you can figure this out on your own. You can talk to yourself. You can assess yourself, and see if you're feeling confident. feeling comfortable with yourself. So a lot of this has to do with comfortable with your body. So it's not going to be a good sign for you especially, but also for someone that you might be with, for as soon as, you know, you take your clothes off saying, oh, I feel so fat. That's not sexy. First of all, you're not fat. Second of all, you should know you're not fat. And third of all, this person doesn't think you're fat. And if they do, they have no business trying to have sex with you. And if they say something like that that's rude, you just punch them in the face and leave. Although I'm not necessarily advising you punch people in the face, because who knows how much they would retaliate, but I'm advising you to just leave. And then the last thing that the guy said was a loving affection. And one of the guys was quoted as saying, it's nice when it's not just fucking. I was like, okay, that's kind of intense, a tense way to word it. When there's a sort of a love and affection, which can be cuddling, which can be snuggling, which, and this also depends a lot on your relationship with this person. You might not feel comfortable getting snuggly with some guy on the second time you've been with him. It depends. Maybe you do. Maybe you can tell that he does. It depends on who you've chosen and the way you've chosen your partners. But at a certain point, when you've been with someone for a while, and you're feeling the urge to get snuggly, to show some love and affection, and they're not into that, perhaps you've not picked the right person for a long-term relationship. You might have picked the right person for a short-term thing or an off-and-on thing, but you might not have picked the right person for a long-term relationship. So the loving affection and love and affection, TLC kind of thing, is going to fit more with certain types of relationships. And I think the guys, when they were talking, that the guys that they polled, I think what they were talking about was talking more about their desire to have a quality relationship. Of course, everybody wants to have a quality relationship. Women, men, everyone. And that has to do with sex, but that also has to do with all the other layers, emotional aspects, friendship aspects, social parts of the relationship. And you can only really get to that loving affection thing when you're at a certain point in the relationship. So think about where you are. Think about if you want to be that way, if it's time, if it's even the right person to do that with. So those are the 9 things that they talked about in this article. I'm going to post a link to it. I thought that they were all worth discussing, but to me, the theme of this whole article is it kind of just reminds women, kind of regardless of what the guys actually think. Like, they make good points, but it's not that we want to please our random potential partner that this reminds us, but it's that it's true. A lot of these things are true. To have a satisfying sexual experience for yourself and then for whoever your partner is, you need to be thinking about how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your sexuality. Are you confident? Are you comfortable? Are you excited to have sex with this person? Are you involved in the situation? Are you in there? Are you down in the dirty zone? Are you doing stuff too? Or are you just kind of laying there like, oh crap, I don't want to do this, or I'm too scared, you know? And it's just nice to express yourself. So make noises if you need to. Have a good time. Laugh. Show who you are. Being sexual is another way to show the person that you're with who you are. And whether it's a one-night stand, whether it's a long-term relationship, you're still exposing something to this person that not many people in the world will get to see. And you need to guard it. Choose it well. Allow people to see it, whoever you want to see it, allow them to see it, but make sure that you're choosing a safe way and a safe place to do it, and that you're being yourself. That's the biggest thing. And that you are out for you. You gotta be safe and watch out for yourself and take care of yourself and imagine, hey, I want to have a good sexual experience. I'm going to take charge of some aspects of this situation because I want to have an orgasm, or I want to feel this way. All that's okay. All that's good. So thanks for listening to the show again today. It feels so great to be back talking with you guys. I'm on the ride home today. It's really exciting because we're hopefully going to get some snowstorms here. So that should be really nice. Perhaps when I talk to you again tomorrow, I'll be snuggled up next to the wood stove. Who knows? So just as a reminder, please check out A Woman Podcast on Facebook. It's just A Woman Podcast. Pretty easy. Check out the website, awomanpodcast.com. You can find all the episodes there. If you click on the link to the page episode or past episodes, You're going to find, oh, it's episode archive, sorry. You're going to find all the episodes that you might have missed, or if you need a refresher, because we were gone for a week, we didn't get to talk. Maybe you need a reminder of what the heck this is about. Go check it out there. And please subscribe on iTunes and rank the episodes on iTunes so that iTunes knows this is a show and we're not going anywhere. We're sticking around. We're going to keep talking about sex, sexuality, women's lives, relationships. And as always, I thank you for listening. Can't wait to talk to you again tomorrow. Okay, bye.